Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
How you doing, Hardy? One more, baby.
See, now I want chili.
Why?
Wendy's chili.
Oh, they got the best too.
If it were 5 degrees cooler.
How about one of those?
And a side of fries. And then I get some mustard to go with it. Mustard's good on them to me.
Really?
Wendy's chili, french fries, side of mustard. So, sign stealing in baseball is a time-honored tradition, but baseball is expected to address it this week at the GM meetings. How about this, though? One high-ranking club in the National League said that last offseason, MLB started asking some clubs about potentially allowing pitchers and catchers to communicate with an earpiece as a means to stop using signs like, we're just going to talk back and forth, and that way there won't be...
I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
My first question would
absolutely
be...
Absolutely hate it.
Hold on a second. Wouldn't the guy in the batter's box be able to hear the catcher talking to the pitcher?
No.
What?
No, but I hate
he to, wouldn't be able
is,
to hear.
This is simple.
The batter wouldn't be able to hear the catcher say, let's throw him a fastball here, Ace. I don't think he can catch up with your high cheese. Give him the high heat.
It would be like Corbin Burnson behind home plate. Here comes the heater. This guy's shaking me off four
times.
Hear
that, you Haitians?
Let's go bring it.
We're using code words. Like, even if they use code words.
Speak kindly of me in your postgame.
You'll be able to break the code just like you're able to break the sign codes. I don't understand what the hell they're talking about. Major League Baseball actually went to teams.
This
and
is
said,
the problem. This what is the problem in Major League Baseball.
What do you think about the earpiece solution, guys? This is what they came up with? An earpiece between the catcher and the pitcher?
Awful. I think this is awful because I think part of what makes baseball interesting is the cat and mouse game of getting on base, looking to first. What's the sign in the dugout? You know, where's the catcher setting up? Why is he painting his nails? Why does he have neon fingernail paint? Why does he have tape around his fingers? It's just all the in and outs of trying to figure out what the other team's doing and trying to relay it, and the guy getting on second and he's picking in, and all of a sudden now I got to worry about that guy. And now you just want to take part of, I don't know, what seems interesting and fun about baseball out of it.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I think the first thing
you had problems with pitch clock and time of game more so than you got with your ability to communicate with a catcher. Like, this affects the way the game's played, the way it's been played for how many years now. This affects the way pitchers have pitched. So you talk about adjusting. Well, you don't want a lower strike count. You don't want less innings. You don't want to speed the game up because it affects you know statistics and records. And baseball is such a historical record based sport. You're messing with what pitchers and catchers have done for years.
This is interesting to me. Drellick wrote about this.
Yeah.
MLB's general sentiment is this. We've been presented a ton of whispers and a clear sense of the problem, but not concrete evidence enough to hammer any individual clubs. Even though ignorance is easy to plead, it's actually believable. In baseball's culture, cheating is to be kept quiet, lest you become an outcast for ratting on your team, and there are likely plenty of other forms of technical cheating that go on undetected by the public. I believe that. The problem is when Major League Baseball has clear evidence of a team cheating, like for say for instance, sending a guy who is friends with the GM to the side of the dugout with a camera phone to start snapping pictures, and they have evidence of this, and they catch you doing it multiple times, you do nothing? Now, even when they have the evidence, and it's right there.
Because you know you're doing it, too. And, I mean, you're doing it to a certain extent. The Red Sox had Apple Watches. I mean, we've been through this.
But they got punished for that.
Right.
When the Astros did it, there was nothing.
Okay, it's like...
I mean, they're talking about the prevalence of technology.
They investigated immediately and found them not at fault.
Baseball has taken a tough stance. They said, all 30 clubs have been notified that future violations of this type will be subject to more serious sanctions, including the possible loss of draft picks. But does anybody really believe that? Because the sign stealing and the cheating culture is kind of accepted as part of the game. So to them, it's like, we're going to say that you're going to get in a lot of trouble for this, but we haven't decided what the trouble is going to be, and we know that some of this is going to go on anyway, so what real difference does it make? You have to decide whether or not it's really a problem. Is it really a problem?
I don't think it's really a problem. I think it's part of the game. It's one of the part of the things that makes the grand old game interesting and good and fun. Now it's like the shift. What do you want to eliminate the shift? That shift's great. They want to shift there, hit it the other way.
But that's not cheating.
Isn't the shift kind of cheating?
No.
No?
Why is it cheating?
If you're playing out of position, if you're playing out of your normal position.
So what?
Thank you.
You can play anywhere you want.
Okay, I agree with you. So allow it. Allow sign stealing. Be better at it. Be better at your signs. Change it up. Don't get complacent.
I think it's more important to not be tipping your pitches, as David Price
showed.
There
you go.
Look.
Or Kimbrel, you got freaking... Eric Gagne's one of the reasons you won the World Series, because he's on his couch. He said, oh, look at that. Greg Kimbrel's tipping his pitches. Hey, Alex, why don't you tell him? No.
Yeah, he's doing this with his changeup.
Why don't you tell him? And all of a sudden, that's what fixed him?
That's what turned him into what could have been...
It's amazing.
Should have been an MVP performance in the World Series.
The little things in this sport. The little things in this sport. Guys like Pedroia sitting there watching a leg kick of David Price two springs ago. Thinking, oh, okay, we're going to fix this. David looks different here in his delivery.
Frank in the car has a question. Go ahead, Frank.
Frankie.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we're talking to you.
Okay, so hey, how does knowing the signs that the catcher is doing even become advantageous, right? Because how do you get that information to the guy in the batter's box?
Okay, so if you're on second and you're playing off second, and you see, okay, he's got a two and down for curve. So instead of me taking my lead and having my hands hanging down, all of a sudden I got my hands are one hand on one knee, one on the other. You see what I'm saying? It's a body language sign that you're conveying to the pick, conveying to your hitter. It's in the box telling him this is what's coming.
Right.
So it gives him a little jump on it.
Right. And
that's
not necessarily
edge.
Something you can use right away. It's like once you're on
right.
base.
So
next time around, when you make it on base again, and the guy that is you know, the next batter after you, you've already communicated. You know what this is. So it doesn't happen
for
the first at bat.
If I was a team and I had the bullpen out there, I'd have a guy behind the screen with a pair of binoculars looking in, thinking, okay, here's
what
we got.
That's what they do. That's what's already being done.
Thank you.
At what point do you stop and say, okay, this technology is okay,
so you're going to get
this type of technology is not.
So you're going to get a speaker or a transmitter where one guy has it and he's got it in his ear, and you're going to have debunkers out there going to be able to crack in on a frequency and pick up their, you know what I'm saying? What's the end game here? I mean, we are really trying to complicate things here. Literally, you're trying to simplify it, but you're actually complicating it more.
Let's go to John in the car. Go ahead, John.
You know, I think rather than focus on stealing signals, somebody will always figure out a better mousetrap on that one. Prevent catchers from coming out to the mound.
Thank you.
Every single time a runner hits second base. You know what I mean? How many? I should have put a stopwatch on the World Series to figure out how many times a game or how many minutes a game that caused delays on. Next thing you know, the third baseman's coming in. Then the first baseman's coming in. You know, they're talking about candlesticks and what to get Millie for a wedding and all that stuff. It's ridiculous.
But, John, I think the World Series is a bad example because I thought those games were great. Any other point in the season, a four-hour game is just torturous. But during the World Series, we had a couple that only went three. And when there's that much on the line and every pitch does matter, that's the one point where I don't mind it. But you want to implement that rule during the regular season? Absolutely. Well, let's get on with our lives. But at that point, during that series, and even during the ALCS and the NLCS, I didn't mind it. I'm going to make Zoe's day. I'm going to take a football call and get us back on football here. There we go. Shane in Roslindale. What's going up, Shane?
I just want to get take on Rob Gronkowski. So it kind of looks like week to week he's just mentally checking out. I mean, given the injury, of course, he's obviously not.
He's
100%.
On the injury report. So it's not mental. It's not mental now. It's a legitimate injury on the injury report.
He is practicing today. He is there.
Is he?
Yeah.
There you go.
He's out there.
Right. But given the way he looks and dealing with all these injuries and all the rumors from last year and everything, do you think whether they make a Super Bowl run or not and win or not, after this year, he's just done? He's retired?
Could be. I think you are year to year with him. He already stated that last year. He opened that Pandora's box.
To me, the biggest revelation in my own mind was when I came to believe that Tom Brady would be playing this game longer than Rob Gronkowski. And I thought that was a ridiculous notion a year or two ago. But after this offseason and the way things are trending right now, I not only think it's a possibility, I think it's a probability. I think Rob Gronkowski has done another year or two. Now, listen, if Brady wins another Super Bowl, and you said this before, Zoe, you said this before the Eagles Super Bowl, could you see Brady stepping away if he wins another Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I sure could.
But if that doesn't happen.
Hey, with Tom versus time, too?
I think with Rob Gronkowski, it doesn't matter either way. I think his body is going to dictate to him whether or not he's going to keep playing. And I think he is closer to not playing the game anymore based on that more so than Tom Brady.
And how much Brady was mentally beat up after that Super Bowl loss. You know, if you threw for 500 plus yards like he did and they won that game, would he have walked away with the whole Tom versus time thing? Because that thing was structured and they had a certain ending ready to go. Remember they had to patchwork it and then Brady had to sit there on February 9th. All pissed off in his house and makes you question your convictions, you know, now. And I don't know.
See, I don't think he could have stepped away if he had won it because the whole Tom versus time thing was predicated on I'm going to play this game until I'm 60.
I guess, yeah.
So
yeah.
Even with a win after that one, he couldn't step away.
And what he said interesting, you know, I guess it was to Peter King after the Green Bay game is, yeah, I'll be there for the next, I want to be there for the next me versus Rodgers, which is 4 years away.
All right.
He's like, oh, boy, here we go.
We talked with David Andrews earlier, and believe me, we're going to do a plenty of stuff on Tennessee tomorrow and then mostly on Friday. But just, you know, some early indications, though, what this team is going to be like, what it's like going up against Mike Vrabel and some former teammates. David Andrews didn't have too much to say about it, but I think you will.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think it's going to be a lot of Houston-based stuff and institutional knowledge that he has with Romeo Crennel from D.C. and them when Houston played. I think it's more of a Houston team than Tennessee.
All right, we'll talk about that a little bit. And anything else you want to get to, 617-779-0985.
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Why not us?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle. 617-779-0985. Welcome to join us here. We've got the Jaylen Brown stuff we'll revisit here in a while. He thinks he's going to win like 5 rings but before he turns 20, which is like 6 years from now. 5 championships in 6 years. Seems a little optimistic, a little aggressive.
Yep.
But we got that, and we got, of course, the Patriots practicing today, getting ready for their visit to Tennessee. How much are you personally looking forward to your trip to Tennessee this weekend?
I'm looking forward to it. It's a cool venue. I'm going to see my boy Frank Wycheck Saturday. So Frank is dealing with some of the CTE stuff. I played with him at Maryland. Remember, he was a Tennessee miracle against Buffalo. People from Buffalo hate Frank, which makes me like him even more. But I haven't seen him in a long time. We grabbed some dinner Saturday night, and then we're up and at him early. It's 12 o'clock kick Central Time, so it's going to be a quick trip.
You don't have a lot of time to screw around.
We don't get in there until about 6:30, so I mean, and boom, boom, in the bed, and you're out of there next day.
Can you call and ask to go a little bit earlier?
No, I don't go earlier.
What? If you asked, say, hey, can we, you know.
I think we did that.
For this team in this game, is this as good a matchup coming up on Sunday that you thought it was going to be 2 months ago?
No, I don't. I think Tennessee's a decent team. I don't think the quarterback's very good. He's okay. He's a game manager. They do have Deion Lewis. They do have Henry. They've got a good, nice 1-2 punch. Kid Davis on the outside, damn good receiver. They lost Delaney Walker at the start of the year. He's on IR, so they don't have him as tight end. He was the thing that sort of offsets everything else. So, you know, you worry about the tight end, then that's how they get you with the receiver. But Mariota can make some plays with his legs. That's a good win for them in Dallas. Go on the road in Dallas Monday night. Short week for them, though, so they got to turn around get ready for a lot of what New England gives you. Plus, I think you're getting Gronkowski and Michelle back this week, which will complicate things for Vrabel.
When it comes to the institutional knowledge that, you know, the coach and the players have of this Patriots team, who do you have to be most worried about? Is it Vrabel? Is it Deion Lewis?
I think it's
Malcolm Butler.
No, I think Butler's hurting right now. I think they're going to go after Butler in this game. We'll get into it more tomorrow and Friday as to how. But yeah, Deion will create problems for you, but I think
I mean, but see, you have to factor in who is here Deion's most recently. Guy. You have to figure in who is here most recently, too. And from that regard, you know, you have to consider that Deion Lewis and Malcolm Butler may know more about what's going on with this team than Vrabel does.
See, I know that. And I don't know if Vrabel – see, I don't think Vrabel has the pieces on defense as he did in Houston. Houston's a damn good front. But it just scares me that, you know, he told me, you know, I know how to get the Brady in the middle. And damn it, we had his ass, and we let him off the hook. You know, if Osweiler hits that post route, that's a different ball game in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Houston was here. So they had Merciless. They had Clowney. They had Watt. They move guys around. They'd run those games in the middle where you're getting in that A-gap, that center guard gap. And Brady does not like people there. That's how you pressure him. That's how you get him off his spot. Everybody talks about getting Brady off his spot. The spot is where he sets his feet, where he throws. He has to be able to step. You know, he's got to be able to mechanically be into it. And Vrabel knows how to disrupt that. That's the one thing I think they can do in this game. See, Deion's a feature guy there now. When Deion was here, he's in a huddle with Brady, Gronkowski, Edelman, James White, Hogan. You know, just keep going down a list of guys, and it's just, okay, well, that's how you're able to stretch defenses and get them out in space. And Brady knows how to get in the ball. I don't know if Mariota can do that with him. And this is not a slight on Deion. Deion's a great player. Deion's the reason he went to the Super Bowl last year, the type of year he had. But, I mean, Gronk's out there. They've learned how to play without him. That's evident in the last two out of three games.
And that was going to be my next point. If, for some reason, Rob Gronkowski, unable to play again on Sunday, Sony Michel, again, I was shocked that he was out there doing anything as quickly as he was. Not shocked that he's still not playing, because that looked like a pretty significant sprain, turn, whatever you want to call it. No structural damage, obviously, we know that, but it doesn't surprise me at least he's not playing yet. So let's say, bit of a surprise if Gronk doesn't play, but Sonny Michel also doesn't play.
Neither one would surprise me if they didn't play now, based on what you have on the other side, meaning the bye.
You didn't need them to beat the Packers.
Right.
Do you need them to beat the Titans?
It's all depending on how, it's the flow of the game. Like, you come out Sunday. Take your first drive like you did the other night. You shove it right down, or you know what? It's a different ball game. Like, all of a sudden, Tennessee's going, oh, God, we're down 7-0 to Tom Brady and the Patriots, and they're riding high, and we're in trouble.
Why is it so hard to sustain that momentum after the first drive? We see it time and time again, season after season. Yet you see a team march down the field, Patriots especially. I mean, 8-9 plays.
Yeah.
Would it take them 3 minutes and 20 seconds to get in the end zone?
Right
down. And then after that, it just stalls. Gets all gummed up. Why is there such a flip of the script after that first drive?
Because you come out, you spend so much time in that first drive, too. You script the plays. You try and script between 10 and 12 plays. You run them to death on Wednesdays. And then you get to Friday and you brush it up. You throw out the plays that didn't work. And then you get in there and, okay, we hit the first two. Let's go down to the fourth play on a script. And it's working. And we're just continuing to go down. You don't have a script for next series. And the other team, you got to give them credit. It's the National Football League. Defensive coordinators will adjust to what you're doing. Okay, they got us in a bad substitution pattern. We couldn't get this guy on. Here's what we're going to do. Big boy, you're sitting down. We're going small nickel now. I want to run two more DBs in a game. So you bring it in. Brady comes out. Okay. Jesus. Okay, I got to go nickel run here. If somebody makes a play on first down tackling, we're at second and 10. Then there goes your series, because if you don't pick up a good chunk, you're looking at third and 8, third and 9. And that's tough to complete in this league. Yeah, not many teams look at that and stare it down the barrel and say, we can pick up 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9. This team can. But that's why you have that disruption flow. It's a back and forth flow. And, you know, the checkers, you know, who's moving the chess pieces, back and forth. Defensive coordinators are pretty good in this league.
Because after that, it's, I guess, kind of pointless to script more plays after that, because the game kind of starts to write its own script.
Yeah, see,
after the first couple of drives.
See, and I thought the Packers did some good stuff the other night, as did Buffalo, where you walk guys up, you're showing blitz, and you drop out, and you're only rushing 3 or 4. Now, you're never going to fool Brady. What you're trying to do is you're trying to fool David Andrews into making a wrong call, or Trent Brown, or the new guy, Teddy Karras, who hasn't played a lot, making a second start, I think fourth start in his career. But, okay, if he misses a call or a tag, or, you know, he misses communication with Marcus Cannon, who's back for the first time, and he hasn't played in a while. So you're juggling some inner working parts there on the offensive line. I just don't think Vrabel and, like, Houston, when he was there, did that type of stuff to where he's going to change his whole defensive makeup and plan in a matter of 3 days on a short week.
You think Vrabel has the best chance right now out of all the guys who have come off the Belichick coaching tree to start to make an impact here and start to make a name for himself? I mean, Bill O'Brien's done well, But there have been some hiccups along the way, and there are questions about him. There are questions about pretty much anybody who's come out of that tree.
Yeah.
What do you think Vrabel's upside is in terms of long-term success as a head coach in the NFL?
See, the problem is, where's this league heading? It's an offensive league. With all the rules changes and the way quarterbacks are playing and receivers, that it seems like it benefits like the McVays of the world, guys that could get in there and light it up for 35, 40 points. It's so structured to where it's tough to play defense now. It's tough to hit. It's tough to tackle. You know, it's tough to blitz and hit quarterbacks. You got defenders coming off the edge that are afraid to hit the quarterback, pulling their hands off. You know, guys like Clay Matthews. Clay Matthews didn't get sniffed the other night. That's the last time he's got a sniff since the first 3 weeks, and he was getting flagged left and right for hitting a quarterback. So I think it benefits the offensive guys. So it's probably going to be Billy. And Billy's done a nice job in Houston. They've got a quarterback now.
It doesn't seem to be Matt Patricia, a defensive guy taking over.
I would not vote for him right now. I just think things don't look good there. But
well, offensively,
now that Matt Stafford's officially a Lion, it's a good week for him.
Yeah, it was.
Hey, Church, why don't you sit up and respect the process?
Good week
while
for Patricia.
My hat on backwards and a pencil behind my ear, and I just got done eating a sandwich. Okay? I'll respect your process. You respect mine. Remember when I respected the process when I got off the plane with the Goodell shirt on? It's just funny hearing Matt say that. He's ready to fly off the handle, it seems.
One call.
I think Billy O'Brien's got the edge. Go ahead.
One call here from Chad Medford. Go ahead, Chad.
Hi, Chad.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi.
What do you think of this guy we got from the Rays, the UConn guy? I hope he can play.
He's an athlete. He's an athlete, man.
I know. So, what do you think? McCourty's having a bad year. He ain't making no plays at all, man.
McCourty is having a better year than you think. And I thought, you know, boy, he's losing a step. You watch him on a pick six. You remember the KC game he ran down the kick returner? Speed's there on a straight line.
Yep.
It's the lateral left to right and angles. It's not as bad as you think, and they'll be the first to tell you that when they look at film. But
I know, but
it's not like
a few
I'm with you, Chad.
Chad,
it's not like other years where he's an impact guy. He's no longer an impact guy.
Right. He's lost a step. I mean, his brother was playing crazy. His brother's been playing a little bit better. He played good the other night, though, Jason.
You could say from a pendulum swinging, one down, one left or right, one's a good direction, one's bad. Jason McCourty is swinging in a damn good direction. Not to say Devin's swinging in a bad one, but Jason's the one that's turning heads right now.
All right. We'll get an update here from Sarge. We'll continue with your calls at 617-779-0985. We're going to revisit Jaylen Brown, what he said about his championship potential here over the next several years. But really, what do you think? If you agree with him, great. But if not, how many championships do you think he'll win by the time he's 28? Don't answer.
How many did LeBron win in Miami? Was it not one, not two, not three, not four?
Yeah,
it's tough to run off five.
It's a tough prediction to make.
Sports Hub headlines.
Well, the Patriots are on the practice field at this hour ahead of Sunday's game at Tennessee, and some three big names that are present: Rob Gronkowski, Sony Michel, and Shaq Mason, who did, of course, sit out of last Sunday's game against Green Bay. Michel expected to play Sunday, according to ESPN, after sitting out the last two games. And Mike Reese reporting that the Patriots have signed offensive lineman Matt Tobin to a one-year deal. Tobin was in camp with the Patriots this summer, cut by the 49ers back in September. And the big news this afternoon, Dez Bryant agreeing to a one-year deal with the New Orleans Saints, as New Orleans has won seven straight. They just knocked off the previously undefeated Rams on Sunday. And yes, Bryant will play his former team at Dallas 3 weeks from tomorrow night. Bruins, well, they'll play the Vancouver Canucks tomorrow night at the TD Garden, but they did practice today. Eero Vaakanainen, and he's been dealing with a concussion, and Kevin Miller with a hand injury did skate with the team before practice today. Celtics are off until tomorrow, continuing their road trip against the Suns. Kyrie Irving fined $25,000 by the NBA for throwing a ball into the crowd after they lost in Denver on Monday.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
This helps my emotions.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. And we'll work on that tomorrow. We'll work that into the show tomorrow. Zolak and Bertrand.
Silverton.
Hardy in for Beetle. What?
Nothing. Hardy in for Beetle. Is this Love in an Elevator?
No.
Yes, I'm,
another copy band, huh? Love in an Elevator. Living it up and low and down.
Let's get Steve in West Roxbury on the line. Steve, you're on with Hardy.
Hey, this is Steve Ray Zolak.
Excuse me?
This is Steve White Zolak.
Steve White?
Yep, Steve White. Zolak, my buddy coaches King Philip, the King Philip defense.
Nice.
He coaches King Philip High. He's a defensive coordinator for King Philip High.
Okay, so what do you tell me? If you talk to him, what's he think about?
I used to be a football manager at Denham High School, 48 years.
Nice.
Right? I want to find out about your opinion.
You want my opinion regarding the King Philip Mansfield game, which will take place in Mansfield Friday night. Mansfield's probably going to run the ball 95% of the time. King Philip will probably run the ball 80% of the time. This game will probably be a 20-14 type game with King Philip advancing, and we're going for the three-peat for state champs and to play in the Super Bowl at Gillette Stadium first weekend in December. That's what this is all about. Let's go, KP.
KP Minute.
You know, Mansfield's good for Mansfield Crossing.
Steve's the man. I remember seeing him on the sideline there at Dedham. He was a manager for a long time for football.
So you know Steve White?
Well, that guy that just called.
Steve White.
Yeah, Steve. Yes. West Rockford.
So you know who he is?
Yeah, because, you know, they played Needham. We played them in the Bay State Conference.
You decided not to jump in at any time during that conversation with you knowing this
Well,
man.
I don't know if he knows him. He just based
I know
on
who he is.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Well, then you
went
know
down
him.
There, talked to him before, a few times at the game.
Sweet.
About what?
Yeah, just, you know, get the lowdown on the team.
For what?
When I was doing the TV broadcast for the Needham channel.
Oh.
Public access.
Okay.
Which you did at one point. That was all volunteer. You did that for Everett High. The Super Bowl.
I got paid to do those. How much I got paid that Saturday to do six straight games?
$50?
Just keep talking.
Maybe a free pizza, too? You've come a long way. I give you credit.
I earned my stripes.
I did, too. I pay my dues, too, man.
That's not an easy day. That's big for those kids, and I love
it. It's a great day.
And I tell you what, this is what pissed me off all the time, too. When somebody would always mispronounce my name and call me Zolak and that, I said, the biggest thing, I don't care about your offense. I don't care about your defense. And we'd sit there and do these conference calls with these coaches heading into this game. I'd have the players, you know, the roster, and I would go down them, and I said, tell me how to pronounce this kid's name, Arendaho or Jablinski, or when you keep going down the list. I said, the last thing I want to do is when this kid goes back and watches on TV, or one of those family members is sitting there watching, this guy's butchering my kid's name, or he's butchering my name. And that's the biggest thing to get through that day, I think, because you don't really watch a lot of high school football, obviously. You know, we're traveling, doing stuff. Every once in a while, I'll peek in. My kids will go to the game. I'll stop in, watch a half. But that's a good little program they got going on down at King Philip.
Sarge, let me explain something to you. Here's where it went bad for you.
What's that?
And here's where it will always go bad for you.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Whether you directly or indirectly say to Zoe, I'm just like you. That's where it's going to go south.
I never did public access TV games.
Well, I thought you did for the high school thing. With the Super Bowl.
That's on like TV 38 or on NBC.
Actually,
NBC,
you know what,
Sports Boston, they split it up.
8 years ago at Gillette, I was in one booth and you were next to me.
You're doing it again.
There.
You're doing it again.
What are you doing? Bringing donuts in for the crew at the halftime?
You were the Tanger.
Right.
Yeah.
Gary did a great job.
I was right next to you.
I'm trying to
help
cross
path in the right before we went to the bathroom.
See, he's just like you, Zoe.
Yeah.
You're pretty much the same.
He's my boy.
That's right. Spitting image.
You ready for Jack in Canton?
Yeah, I love that Jack in Canton.
Oh,
he's going to be upset because Beatles not here today.
Oh, what's up, Jack?
Yeah, go ahead, Jack. You're on with Zolak and Hardy in for Beatle.
I'm Dilly.
Hardy's Army. And Zolak, what's up?
What's up, Jack?
Good to see you, Zolak. Hey, Sarge.
What's up, Jack? How you doing, ma'am?
I'm a sergeant major in the United States Army.
I love you, buddy.
So, well, you going to listen to me.
All right, I'm in, buddy.
Oh, real Sarge.
Drop down, give him 10.
Yeah, well, let me just say one thing, Zoe.
Yes, sir.
You were talking about plays back in the old days. I remember when I love your stories, and I love it when you tell about back in the old
you should buy my
stadium
book.
And stuff.
You should buy my book, If the Walls Could Talk. Jeff Howe and I, we tell a lot of those stories.
Yeah, well, I should. I wish I could get it. I wish I could get it.
Barnes & Noble.
Anyways... But can I say one thing?
Sure.
This game worries me because Rabel knows everything. And Rabel's, I know the Kraft hate his guts because he says certain things. I know Belichick likes him. But Rabel made comments about Patriot Place. And
sure did.
That's
yes,
why
he did.
I resumed out of here. All right?
All right.
I'll let myself go now.
Thanks, Jack.
I appreciate it, Jack.
People forget Vrabel.
See you guys later. Honey, great man. And Sonny's Army. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I love that guy.
Jack
he's
and Ken. And he's a big fan of Quincy, too.
People forget.
Huh?
Do you have a dilly from yesterday? Do you still have that handy? That was my favorite.
How you doing?
How you doing? Give me a kid. Come on.
How you doing? Not my name.
I love my job. I love my job. I love our callers. I love the time slot. I'm sitting here. I'm dying. You're dying. He's dying. Everybody in that room.
Her name's not Dilly. It's Debbie.
How you doing? Give me it again. What's her name?
How are you doing, Debbie?
How you doing, Debbie? Deb?
Hello?
Is Deb there?
How you doing?
I was on hold with Bobby Orr for 5 minutes earlier, and I've been on hold for 3 hours trying to get back to talk to Bobby.
To talk to Bobby Orr, and my phone cut out. I just got it going.
He was on 3 hours prior.
I don't know.
It sounds so much better here than it did down at Gillette. It just resonates here.
It's the audio quality.
It is booming.
The
in
fidelity.
Right here.
Oh, my God.
Give me more.
Because it's so subtle and you really need them.
She'll be in today's takeaways.
Dilly.
Dilly, dilly.
It's been a really good show.
It's been really good. It's been fun.
It's a damn shame.
How you doing?
It's going to come to an
end here.
We're going to
do good. We're going to do here. We're going to get away. We got today's takeaways coming up next.
Let's go on the Marconis.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Ready? Time for today's takeaways brought to you by Awake 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight for life, the official weight loss program of your world champion Boston Red Sox.
All right. I just figured out what one of the main things is with Sarge. As you slipped in your last line there before the break. Did you remember what he said, Zoe?
I used to have a friend by the name, his name was Tim. We ended up calling him Topper because you couldn't do anything or tell a story without it being taught by the Sarge. He always had to have the last word.
Sarge is convinced he has the last line.
Yeah.
In a lot of these situations. Mm. And it's a tough thing to pull off.
How come Jim Murray doesn't slide over and then they get Sarge, like 2-6? You know, like, hey, Murray, like, do you take you?
Sarge picked up the phone when he was already doing something this morning and they needed someone here to fill in.
Working out.
Oh, wait till you see.
You can't go to gym and do it yourself.
Give me 3 months, dude.
You need somebody
give me 3 months.
Hold your hand.
Shut up, Zoe.
See what I mean?
All right. We have a compilation of...
Our dirt takeaway, Sarge, today.
Yeah, hating on Sarge and hating on Hardy calls, a compilation.
All right, here we go.
John in Atlantic City, go ahead.
Real quick, for my Brady point was just, Hardy, love the show. I think one day you'll have your own show. And Sarge.
I knew it. This guy calls Touch Rush. What's up, John? How you doing, pal? What?
All right. First of all, I just want to say, go, Sarge, go. You magnificent bastard. We love you. All right.
Connor in Charlestown. What do you got for us, Connor?
I heard the Saints also brought in Brandon Marshall. And Sarge, you suck, pal.
Oh. Connor, how dare you.
Uno, Muno.
That's awesome.
I don't get the Sarge jokes at all because I've never heard Sarge say anything that I haven't enjoyed listening to him. Whereas every single thing Hardy says is idiotic.
Sarge, time to come clean.
What's up, man?
The Peter Griffin guy from Needham. Did you know who that was?
No, but I want to find out. I owe him a drink. That was he stuck up for me.
He's a beer distributor. I met him out.
Oh, he is?
Yep.
It's a damn good impersonation of Peter Griffin.
You know who that guy is, really?
He is in line. Hey there.
Do you know him, or do you know him like Sarge?
No, he introduced himself. I'm like,
defensive coordinator from Dedham.
No, he goes, I'm the Peter Griffin guy. And he did the whole bit. And I'm like, wow,
you are.
Yeah, nailed it.
Okay.
You hit a home run.
Your first question to Brad Stevens today?
Rap record, yep.
Now, do we have the rehearsal? Or, okay.
Oh, which one? Go.
Because we did the rehearsal, which was maybe your finest moment.
It was, yeah.
When I implored you.
Practice.
Jump Jump right in with the first question like Mike Wallace would when he sat down. It was either the Shah or the Maz probably knows.
Yeah, right in his face.
Yeah, I think it was probably the Shah of Iran when he sat down.
This is bad advice by you, by the way.
And he said, are you a terrorist? Right? Yep. No setup, no pleasantries, no anything.
Are you a terrorist?
Right. So I said, you got to do the same thing with Stevens. And as we rehearsed it, it went like this. I said, okay, time to welcome in Brad Stevens, head coach of the Boston Celtics. Hi, Brad. Thanks for joining us. Hey, guys. How are you?
And I said, hey, coach. How you doing? Are you a terrorist?
Which is not what you were supposed to do. But that's not what you did.
No.
We had Stevens on today, and here's how the first question went. 1224 Zolak and Bertrand. Beetle not in today. It's me, Hardy, filling in and welcoming in head coach of your Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens. Coach, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, coach. We moved this up a half hour. Is this for the release of Marcus Smart's new album and song, rap song? Have you heard that yet?
I have not. I'm busy enough just watching both sides of the basketball right now.
All right, let's get the one side of the basketball. You can't be too happy right now about the style of defense your team's playing. Is that fair to say?
It's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, just they lit them up for what, $115 the other night. That just doesn't happen on a Brad Stevens coach team.
No,
or 2A Brad Stevens coach team. But maybe it does now with the new threes and basketball analytics. Felger Maz did a lot of stuff on this the other day, and like, yuck, gone are the days of the center. Just shoot. Just keep shooting. Shoot all day.
Do we have more Jaylen Brown, Tom?
How about Billy? But real quick though, how about Billy Lanny's story off air where he said Marcus Smart came in with, and could you imagine this if you're Marcus Smart?
This was the best.
10 good minutes. He came in to cut a spot, and he actually sat in a production studio with Billy Lanny from Malden and the one and only James Cat Stewart.
Right, and he was just wearing like sweatpants, sneakers,
slide on slippers, and he said $1,000 Versace bathrobe.
Right, a Versace robe.
Lanny goes, it was unbelievable because he looks like the most comfortable person ever I've seen in the world.
Right.
And the first thing I did when he left is I looked up that bathrobe and it was $1,000. He said, I wish I could be that comfortable.
Right. Why does Billy Lanny sound like Mike Francesa?
I can't do Malden.
Oh.
It just can't pack ya.
More Jaylen Brown from today.
So, 28-year-old Jaylen. How many championships 28-year-old Jaylen got?
I'm not going to jinx myself, but he's had 6 years. I'm going to go ahead and say it's 5 or 6. I'm going to say that.
So you win in the championship every year from here to...
I don't want to jinx myself.
You already did. You already said it.
And I don't play to lose, so I'm going to go ahead and say... I'm going to give it a 5. You know what I mean?
5 rings by 28.
That's what... I'm going to go with that, yeah.
How confident are you about winning this year?
Super confident. Like, people misconstrue confidence and arrogance.
For sure.
You know what I mean? I'm not being arrogant, and we're going to have to take the steps to be the team that we say we want to be, right? Because we got the mindset of a champion. I think that's where it starts.
See, he's doing it with, like, the whole, with all due respect card. Like, you know, I'm going to say it, but I'm not really saying it, but you said it. That's not Kyrie Irving. That's not Jason Tatum. That's not Gordon Hayward. That's Jaylen Brown. Saying he's going to have 5 rings, he's going to have 5 rings in 6 years.
Right. It's like saying, not to sound racist, which is the best indicator you're about to say something horribly racist, not to be disrespectful, but I'm going to say something that's going to be disrespectful to somebody or some team or some other player or some coach.
P. Diddy and Mace said it a long time ago, more money, more problems, man. When you get all this talent together, you start to squander a little bit. You wonder, oh, maybe we're not as good as we thought we were. Maybe, you know, we've been reading too much of the press clippings.
Steven said it today, and he said about last year's team when they jumped out 16-2. He said, we weren't as good as 16-2.
Yeah.
And he says they're not as bad as the way their record would indicate right
but
now.
You got to deal with the new rap song, 52 mil. Like, what if it was only 39 mil? It'd been like 39 mil.
It still works. You got to find something where the syllables don't match up. 11. 11 mil doesn't work.
11 mil be nice. Yeah. 11 mil be real nice, right, Sarge? You've been there, right?
A home Same run. Room,
right?
Grand slam.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sarge.
Guys, thank you.
Pray for Beetle.
Yeah, Beetle's sick. I don't know if he's coming back tomorrow. But,
you have the ring tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be at Warrior Ice tomorrow.
Excellent. Woo-hoo. Love it there.
Love it. Thank you to Brad Stevens for joining us, and David Andrews and Burt Breer.
And you don't want to miss tomorrow. Torrey Krug will have on his Winter Classic jersey that they unveiled.
Absolutely.
So. All right.
Belgram has next.
How you doing? Not my name. Debbie.